Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Wrestle Culture. Look in your feed. What do you see? Wrestle Culture with Phil and me. We know your anger. We know your dreams. We're here to talk wrestling. We're the cult of what culture? WWE.
That's the most shoehorned in thing you've ever done.
Yeah, it's late on a Friday. I do apologize. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Phil Chambers from What Culture, and that's it, because literally everyone else has decided they want a long bloody weekend, but we'll have a great
god damn bank holidays
to review a very busy week in the world of wrestling. And look back, of course, on SummerSlam 2. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. But as I said, joined by Phil Chambers. I mean, it's lovely, just the two of us, Phil, mate. Unfortunately, we're not in the new office today, so no soundboards. We're saving that treat for maybe the go-home show for All Out or something. But yes, I genuinely can't believe it's only a week ago that me, you and Cleary were sat there going, do you think CM Punk's going to debut tonight? We've had, it feels like a month's passed. We've had, obviously, a very busy weekend with Rampage and Punk's debut. Then we had SummerSlam. Then we had TakeOver. It just doesn't stop, does it? I'm not complaining. It is a fantastic time to be a wrestling fan, Phil.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, just this weekend, we've had three pay-per-views, and that's when you don't even think about Rampage and Punk debut and SmackDown and Raw as well is also a thing. It's been an insanely busy weekend for wrestling. But yeah, it's like there's more options than ever before. Who knew, like, three pay-per-views on one weekend? And like two different companies from it, huge things happening in AEW. It's literally everywhere, wherever you want wrestling to get it from, it's everywhere. And it's all pretty good. Well, most of it.
Yeah, I think this weekend will mainly be me having a bit of a lie down because of what's happened this week. And the fact next weekend is, of course, All Out. And Phil, CM Punk is stepping back into the ring to face Darby Allin. We thought this day would never come.
Yeah, this is absolutely crazy. Like, we're speculating about what the actual debut would be and things on Rampage, and I think they pulled that off spectacularly just by, well, not really doing anything, just chucking him out there and letting him do whatever he wants. That's pretty much how they handled that. Like, you go out there, go as long as you want, we'll figure out the rest of the show later. Fine, that was the perfect way of doing it. But now actually stepping back into the ring with 7 years of ring rust on him, I'm going to be very interested to see how this plays out. I also really, really doubt it's going to be anything but spectacular because I doubt Punk's going to come back. You've got Darby Allin who's going to sell his ass off for him. I think this is going to be really good fun.
And judging by the numbers that came out on Monday, turns out CM Punk is a needle mover.
Who knew? Quite a large needle mover as well there, Roman Reigns.
Yeah, it just... Not only for Rampage, but for Dynamite as well. I think Dynamite did like certainly over a million again this week.
It was best show since their debut or something, wasn't it? And Punk wasn't even the highest rated segment on the show. Like, he brought eyes to other people.
Yeah, wild. Shame it was a bit of a rubbish Dynamite, but still, regardless, CM Punk.
Yeah, you'd think having Punk back, you'd kind of go all out for that episode of Dynamite. It's like you've got all this hype coming out of Rampage. Everyone bloody loved it. It's like Punk's back, his first appearance on Dynamite. Whatever, phone it in, it'll be fine.
Well, you and I both know, you were lucky enough to edit the news this morning, the real reason, because that show would have done 2 million had we had what was going to happen there actually go down, of course. And it's all bloody Edge's fault. Did all the Brood stuff on SmackDown and the cool entrance of SummerSlam, and it ruined everything because Gangrel almost appeared in AEW. How good would that have been?
That would have been absolutely amazing. Fanging and banging all the way down that rampway. Would love to see everybody's favourite vampire back and in AEW Dynamite doing whatever it will have been between Kenny Omega and Christian. Oh, it would have been amazing just having Gangrel back on national television again. He deserves it.
Yeah. He's the only one who watched that awesome SummerSlam entrance from Edge and went,
I was just like, yeah.
Bollocks. Oh, hang on. Yeah. I'm going to call here from Tony Khan. You're right, Tone. Yeah, no, bad idea. Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right. So
if you want, yeah, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. I was so gutted hearing that news because, like you said, I mean, I get 100% where they're coming from. If they'd have brought Gangrel,
yeah, totally
made complete sense to have him, you know, come out and maybe Don Callis does some line akin to what he did on Dynamite where he says, oh, look, it's the second best member of the Brood after Edge. And then you go, oh, Christian, you're crap, basically. But, oh, come on. We need more retro stars in wrestling, but not to come back and bury younger talent. You just do spot. Like, every time I see, because I follow him, of course, on Twitter, and I have no doubt you do too, Phil. Every time I see a tweet from Scotty Too Hotty, especially when he retweets people who are like, oh, remember the two cool legends? I'm like, just give me one. I don't want a tag team title run. I don't necessarily even want a match. I just want,
yeah, just the dance will be fine.
I just want the music to hit at the Rumble. Is that too much to ask?
Yeah, one time, come out with the hat and the glasses and the stupid little walk that he does. Yeah. It'd be brilliant. Nostalgia works. It's been proven throughout history. Nostalgia works in this stuff, but just not the way that WWE tend to do it, where they just, hey, look, it's the NWO back, which are our fun favourite tag teams at the minute. Let's squash them.
Well, yeah, exactly. You're 100% spot on, especially because Raw this week was fine. There were some good bits, actually. I tell a lie, there's some good bits. Like, RK Bros championship celebration stuff was good. And, you know, Damian Priest is just, it's Teflon to bad booking, apparently. And it did like a 2 million, I think, over 2 yeah. million viewers. Madness. And Goldberg wasn't even on it. I was like, where's Goldberg? Oh, what's he going to do to Bobby Lashley for attacking his son?
Well, nothing.
He's going to wait till Saudi Arabia by the looks of things.
Hey, at least we've got SmackDown to look forward to tonight. There's so much to tie up on SmackDown and to follow through on. We've got Becky and Brock both on SmackDown. This is like probably one of the most hyped SmackDown episodes of the year. They've got to pull something out for this one.
It is very rare that I go, you know what? I think USA Network have got a point here. But I do kind of agree with them going, wait, you've brought back Brock Lesnar and Becky Lynch, who were both ostensibly Raw talents for large parts of their, you know, previous run. Yeah. Until they moved.
Both over.
Yeah, until they moved SmackDown to, you know, the big show on Fox and went, can we have Brock to squash Kofi, please? But yeah, putting that to one side, I could see them going, why are they getting all the good stuff? What have we got? Ah, don't worry, you've got Goldberg. He's not here anymore. Ah, you've got Lily. It's astonishing, the array of talent. And me and Sidge were previewing SmackDown today, and I was like, honestly, you actively have to try hard now to screw up between now and arguably the Royal Rumble. Yeah. All you need to do in the women's title picture Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks. Like, how do you mess that up? It's impossible. But
They tried their best to mess up Becky Lynch at SummerSlam. So it's like, well, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair. Well, both of them, really.
Yeah. This is the thing. Obviously, you may have seen the reports this week that Becky Lynch has actively asked to be a heel on SmackDown. And I've no doubt the manner of her victory on Saturday seemed to aid that somewhat, although more people were pissed off with WWE than with Becky Lynch. But you and I both said on the stream, and Andy, to be fair, they've got to tonight. Like, they've got till tonight to make this right in terms of, I'm not saying, you know, they have to put the title back on Bianca or whatever, but utilize this rather than just making it a transparent Becky's back when we put the title on her sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. They need to somehow do this to elevate Bianca Belair. How they do it exactly, I'm not entirely sure, because it wasn't the best ending to her reign, which wasn't the best. Like, she somehow managed to get over in spite of everything that WWE were throwing at her. Like, she just came out and kind of, she's just so bloody likable that it kind of worked no matter what they were doing on TV with Bianca Belair for quite a long time. And then, they end it with this. I don't know. But this, like, the Becky thing, I genuinely wouldn't be surprised if WWE were just like, Becky, can you just tell someone that you wanted to come back as a heel and try and even this out a little bit, like iron this over? Because it just seems mental. Why? I don't understand why you would agree to... They've done this before with like big returns. It kind of worked for Seth Rollins, I guess, because he just fits more in that heel role. Mm. But like Becky, after being away for so long and after like the women's division, like it felt like it missed her. Like she was a big gap in that women's division, a big hole there that she needed to fill. And then she comes back and it's like, yeah, support of Becky. She's been off. She's had her kid. It's like, it's all goodwill, throwing goodwill everywhere. And then to immediately try and get rid of all of that, it just seems absolutely mental to me. I don't know why they wouldn't just at least run with it for a few months and turn her around the Royal Rumble or something like that if she wanted to be heel. Like, at least get that first initial babyface run out of the way.
Yeah, I mean, you have to say, in recapping SummerSlam tonight, Becky's back, but she did kind of mug off Bianca Belair after a handshake, punching the, like, the story's there. It's not like she came back and they had a bit of a grapple and then she just immediately hit a finisher. She did cheat. Yeah. There is a story to be told there. And me and Sid were talking about, you know, the way they sort of plotted Becky as a babyface following WrestleMania 35, and they kind of dropped the ball a little bit, if we're honest. And I was thinking just then, I actually wouldn't mind now a team of Becky Lynch and her other half, Seth Rollins, because them obnoxiously holding championships. I don't know what Seth would hold. The Intercontinental, maybe? Remind me to talk about the Intercontinental Champion or maybe the person associated with the Intercontinental Champion in a second, please, Phil. But, yeah, maybe them being unbearable heels might actually do some stuff. But, yeah, fascinating to see how they factor that in with Bianca and when Sasha comes back, because Sasha's like, well, hang on, I should have been in this. What's all this about? And, you know, Bianca Belair, we were suggesting initially she could be the one to turn heel and she'll remain babyface. But now you've got potentially a tweener in Sasha Banks who's like, hang on, you've out-heeled me here. This is bollocks. But wait and see how that plays out. More important.
Will definitely be interesting. I think going back to your point about like Becky Lynch in WrestleMania 35 and stuff, I think, like, I don't know whether this was the actual plan back then, but like her babyface run seemed to be like, oh, like her becoming the man, like her own confidence and cockiness has kind of gotten the best of her. And it was like almost a slow, natural turn. I don't know whether they were just booking her wrong and it came across like that. But like with the monster truck and stuff, when she came out with the like the big wagon and like the man written across the side of it and stuff, like, it felt like she was building towards a heel turn at some point. And then obviously the baby came and all plans were out the window from that. But like, so maybe it's just a continuation of that, but it's still, there's been a lot of time between those two things. You can't just pick up where you left off.
So what you're saying is it's almost like she should have dropped the title to Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, that is true.
Right. More fascinating, arguably, than all that is babyface Brock.
Hey, with his little ponytail.
With Paul Heyman on a pole, presumably, going forward in this feud between him and Roman Reigns. I am tempted to stay up tonight just to see what the hell goes on when Brock comes back and Paul, as he did at SummerSlam, goes, no, I can't deal with this. My two boys fighting.
Yeah, I love this one. This has been one that's kind of been fantasy booked ever since Roman Reigns came back on this run with Paul Heyman. It's like in everyone's mind, I think, well, Brock's going to come back at some point, and then this is going to be amazing, because it's like, it's almost, you can't fail with this. You've got Roman Reigns on the run of his life at the very, very tippy top of this company at the minute. And also with seemingly a lot of creative control over what he's doing and the quality of the storylines that he's been pushing forwards. And then you've got Paul Heyman in there, creative genius that he is. And then you throw Brock Lesnar into the mix and just the sort of superstar aura of him. And the fact that he's now face, which is a way that we've not seen Brock Lesnar in a very, very long time. And you put all those three things together, you surely can't lose with this. This just writes itself. And like, you've got the allegiance of Paul Heyman, that it's going to be all over. I love this so much. I'm just ready to see this play out. And I'm very intrigued as to when this first match is going to be, if they're going to do it at Extreme Rules and just go straight in with some kind of crazy stipulation, or are they going to try and hold it off a little bit? I don't quite know. It's just the sort of SummerSlam time frame of this. Like, it's not leading towards a big pay-per-view or anything. I wonder if we get a few match run out of this. And where does Finn Balor fit into all of this?
Yeah, I've got it. Poor Finn. I think we were all anticipating, you know, a Brock return at some point, and maybe we thought one of Brock or Becky at SummerSlam after the Punk debut in AEW, of course, but not both.
Yeah.
And now you're sat there going, because they were, what was the story? They were going to hold off on this till like WrestleMania in 2023 or something. And they went, Brock's here, he's got a year and a half contract, he's got 8 matches minimum or whatever it is that's going to be taking place on there. Wild booking. What I'd do probably is, because you can't really have Brock on the show and not have him in and around the world title, but I also don't want to do 6 rematches with Roman and Brock, is I'd probably have Brock versus Roman at Extreme Rules. I mean, Sid has probably got this one spot on. I think Andy said this as well, to give them both credit. He's going to squash Roman in Saudi Arabia in 2 minutes.
But if that doesn't happen, I forgot about the Saudi show.
If that doesn't happen, or if the dates, I'm not sure exactly sure of the dates, if I'm honest. If that doesn't happen, I'd have Brock versus Roman at Extreme Rules, and either via shenanigans or weaponry or whatever, Roman retains, or Paul Heyman. Maybe Paul Heyman helps, and Roman retains. And it's like, oh, bloody hell, wait till Brock gets his hands back on Roman. He's been drafted to Raw. Like, I love the idea of completely undercutting someone like that, of, right, I'm back in the title picture, now you've been drafted to Raw, mate. And then he just have the match with him and Bobby Lashley, and then maybe he can have Brock versus Roman again at Survivor Series, but no titles on the line.
Well, yeah, my initial pitch, like, quite a while ago now, for Brock Lesnar's return, was to come back and face Bobby at SummerSlam, but on Raw, obviously. Brock wins at SummerSlam, carries the belt through to Survivor Series, and then you can do the Roman versus Brock thing, because you'd love to do the brand warfare at Survivor Series. They have to do it every bloody year, but at least that makes sense and you can build the storyline into that. But I really like the idea of him going into this, getting drafted away from the match that he really, really wants, going on a tear through Raw in anger from being drafted away from SmackDown. And then you've got, again, the natural build, amazingly a natural build to Survivor Series, which we never have ever these days.
Just thinking there, do you remember the SmackDown 6 back in the day?
Yes.
I've just thought, along with Roman, obviously, Roman's Roman. But you could have now, Phil, and I'm going to use this to get to my next point about someone you and I were just so happy with last Friday, arguably more so than Punk. You could have, think about this, the 6 B's of SmackDown, okay? Okay.
Yeah.
You've got Becky.
Yeah.
I haven't got Banks in there. The 7 B's.
7 B's.
Of SmackDown.
Biggie.
Becky. Yeah. Bianca.
Yeah.
Banks. See if I can remember all of them that I was going for here. Baron. That was the one of the main ones. Or maybe it was just 6. Okay. And the best B of all,
Boogs!
Boogs!
Oh,
I was waiting for that.
I'm so proud of him. So proud. He was sensational on SmackDown last week.
Absolutely loving it. As soon as they brought Boogs in, I mean, we got excited by Boogs just being in a bloody Old Spice commercial, let alone actually getting a prominent spot on weekly television and then finally a match. Loving it, loving it, loving it. Ever since that one moment in NXT that wasn't even televised and like set the world aflame with his stupid rocking out and then instantly made the entirety of the What Culture Office a massive fan of his. I think we've been waiting for this moment and he's finally there. And loving every minute of it. It's fantastic.
I think he should be the one to take the title off Roman Reigns, and I'm going to keep saying this. Oh, by the way, I remember it was seven Bs. I forgot to mention Brock. That was kind of a major one.
There you go.
For those for keeping notes,
quite a big one.
The seven Bs of SmackDown: Big E, Baron Corbin, who I want to know more about this week than Brock Lesnar and Becky Lynch, right?
Have you been following his little Twitter story?
Oh my God, Bill!
Las Vegas trip. More ups and downs.
They booked half of these matches at SummerSlam. It's all over the shop on Saturday night. And yet Baron Corbin's there. He's got no money. Then he's got a little bit of money. And then he's having a steak. And then he's in the presidential suite. And then he's got a new car. And then he's back in a cash-only motel.
Bloody pink Corvette or whatever it was.
He was in a cash-only... That's the one I saw anyway. He's in a cash-only motel. He has got a new shirt.
But he does. He's got something out of this. Loving it. I hope they do some kind of recap on SmackDown and this isn't just him. Even if it is just him having fun on Twitter, still very much enjoying it. And all credit to him.
So, Big E, Baron Corbin, Becky Lynch, yeah. Bianca Belair, Banks, Brock, and the biggest one of all,
Boogs.
But yeah, it does make sense that they decided all of a sudden to bring back Brock and Becky because, well, talk me through your experience. I know we've spoken about this, I think, on the stream on Saturday of the CM Punk return because emotional reaction. Obviously, there's the guy who was crying and, you know, people have reached out to him. I like the fact he's kept himself quite anonymous, although I got a lot of time for that sort of thing. And it just broke the internet. It's all everyone was talking about the entire weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. By far the biggest talking point in wrestling, not just of the weekend, probably of the year, if not of the last like 5 years or something. I didn't watch it live because I work Saturdays, so I'm not putting myself through that. So I woke up in the morning and watched it before work. And I was ready to sort of watch through Rampage and like just wait until the end. I like purposely stayed away from Twitter and everything because I didn't want to like see anything. I knew it was going to happen, obviously, but I didn't want to like see anything of it before I actually like experienced it as the TV show wanted me to experience it, if that makes sense. So got it, and then the moment as they're running through the card at the beginning of the show, and then it all goes silent, and then you just hear that crowd come up with the CM Punk chants, and you're like, this is happening straight away, isn't it? And then it goes, and the music hits and that crowd reaction. Oh my God. I've literally watched this like 10, 20 times. I just like every time I see it on my Twitter feed, I'm like, I need to watch this again because it's just get carried away with it.
You must have really appreciated as well that thing that they shared. It was on the road to Dynamite this
week.
It was all over Twitter about that production side of things. And I heaped praise on them, I believe, on the Dynamite preview because I said yet again, you know, they deserve credit. I said this at the time. The commentators deserve credit for just shutting the hell up. And yes, there was still a fair bit of cuts. You watch that. There's still, you know, ready three, go three. Ready four, go four. But it's not Kevin Dunn one cut every 0.5 of a second. And I just love the fact one of the blokes goes, good sh-. Like the irony of that being said in amongst all this madness. It's heartwarming, isn't it? But you're someone who's done that sort of thing. That must be really nice to see.
Yeah, I absolutely love that they shared that. It's as well like, there's loads and loads of cuts in there, but like each one is like impactful and like makes a difference to the whole scene, if that makes sense. And it was just the way when you see it all starting to come together and then you can see them in the production booth and it's like, they all like smiles on everyone's face and like something happens in the production booth where they're like, oh my God, we're actually creating something amazing here. And it's not just like the director obviously calling out all the shots and things. It's the places where he changes his mind that I like the most because it's like you're ready a camera, and then like hold off a bit, and he's like, oh wait, no, like pull in on Punk, and then like the cameraman goes into Punk, and then he changes his mind about where he's going next because he's seeing moments happen in front of him and picking out certain spots that'll tell the story the best. And that's the kind of stuff I love about that, like live production environments are just insanely stressful environments, but when something comes together like that, it's just absolute magic. And yeah, a 20 minute sustained pop is just absolutely incredible, and the way Punk handled it, I think, was perfect. The way AEW handled it, just by saying, just go out there, you do whatever it is that you need to do, take as much time as you want, we'll figure out the rest of the show later, was absolutely perfect. And like, I think beforehand as well, when we were all thinking about he'd just come out at the end of Rampage and then tease something for Dynamite, so glad they didn't do that. Yeah. And they just let this moment be the moment that it is. And yeah, it was so much the better for it.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Before we move on, I do want to give a quick mention to the fact that tomorrow, myself and Michael Sidgwick, I mean, this could have been I could have gone through the entire roster. We're going to go through some dream matches for CM Punk in AEW. Apologies in advance if we don't mention your favorite wrestler. We tried to mention as many as possible, but that podcast will be coming out tomorrow. And then, of course, he teases. We didn't even mention Daniel Bryan in that dream matches thing, just because I'm not going to say it until it's actually happened. But he teases that on Dynamite. We all generally accept that it's probably going to be happening. Of course, Phil, today, I believe, is the day that Adam Cole, baby, becomes a free agent. Yep. Do you think seeing that maybe swayed him somewhat? Because I know WWE, presumably, as they should, trying to throw everything at him to make him stay. We've all known that he's not sticking around in NXT, but no doubt lots of last-minute meetings to say, sure you don't want to stick around? We'll let you do the pitch.
If I was Adam Cole, I would be looking at two very distinct things. I'd be looking at A, that CM Punk entrance. Like, there's no way he's going to get that kind of reaction on AEW. Obviously, it's not even close. No offense to Adam Cole, he's absolutely brilliant, but yes, he's just not on the same level. But not just Punk's debut there, like everyone else who's moved across, and just the amount of good words that they all have to say about AEW and the sort of the company and how Tony runs it and things. I'd be looking at that, and then I'd be looking at Karrion Kross. And I think I know which one I choose.
you obviously don't work Mondays, and you do ups and downs normally for Raw when Miller does it, but you've had a few days off this week.
Yes.
So I take it you just glanced at Twitter and went, they've done what?
Yep, that was one where I saw the videos on Twitter. I was like, oh my god, what have they done? They just can't stop.
I just love the fact that we did a news this week, and Andy normally sends me the stories and the stuff that he's written up and says this is what we're covering, and one of them was like, you know, the reason for the change, and you're like, okay, let's see what this is. And it's like, we don't want to sell generic bald wrestler in our action figures, so we're going to put him in the knockoff Quang gear or whatever it was. Demolition meets Shredder.
I love how they're like, oh yeah, well, we want everyone to like have a package. So like when you're selling it as a package and a product, And then you look back in at him in NXT with Scarlett, and you're like, that's pretty good package. That's very sellable. Like those two as a package and that entrance and everything. Like that's quite sellable, that. And then they're like, no, well, let's just bring him out to no fanfare on Raw and then chuck him in a Lord Tensai mask and move on.
Yeah, his gimmick could have been undefeated monster with Scarlett with that ending. And if you want to sell a gimmick with it, like instead of having him the bondage gear and the shredder mask, just have him have that. I always forget what it's called. I want to say a timepiece. That's not right. What are they called? Egg timer. Big egg timer. Yeah, one of them. Here you go.
Yeah, mad. But you can't sell a generic bald guy wrestler. Austin, Rock.
Before, I'm very excited to get onto this week's hashtag Bloody Good Quiz. I'm sure some people are, because they're thinking, wait a second, you do the quiz. It's only Phil. Well,
I am very intrigued by this. You've teased this on Slack earlier.
Before we get there, Phil, I just want to give a quick nod to TakeOver, which was really good this weekend. And I know a lot of people will have slept on it, but I thought it was like the perfect conclusion to the $1 million championship storyline. Yeah, carry on, baby. He wins it. And then they retire it again, basically, on NXT this week. Fantastic. Raquel Gonzalez retains against Dakota Kai. Please, God, don't have Dakota Kai go 50-50 on the main roster. She should be a world champion within her first year on the main roster. Kyle O'Reilly wins the Undisputed Era finale, understandably. I was so furious with the crowd with that one, Phil. They chanted BS at the end of it. And I was like,
what are you expecting, guys?
25 minutes and he got 40.
I know, yeah.
It was so much better than what I anticipated because I was dreading it. And then, like, they got
We were saying that beforehand. It's like so excited. It's Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. It's 2 out of 3 falls. Love 2 out of 3 falls matches. Not only is it 2 out of 3 falls, it's 3 stages of hell. And then you're like, oh, but just please don't go 40 minutes. And then we got everything that we wanted. It didn't.
He rolls him up early, or he doesn't. He sort of, you know, he pins Cole. Cole wins the street fight match, and then he submits Adam Cole with the move that Adam Cole's been susceptible to, and has his knee buggered because the chair's in the ring, and he does it with one fucking arm. He looks a badass. Oh, boo! I didn't get a proper steel cage. I'll piss off. And then Samoa Joe beats Karrion Kross in like 10 minutes. Great. Fantastic. Bleaty bus open as well. Wonderful. Can't complain with any of that. And let's not forget, I've neglected to mention, I've saved it till the end. Ilya Dragunov versus Walter. No pressure, lads. You got 5 stars last time. Go out there. NXT UK Championship. Not only do they put on a better match, they have a title switch. Ilya Dragunov looks like an incredible performer off the back of it. And they break Dave Meltzer's scale.
For the first time in WWE ever? Has he ever given it?
Did Cole Gargano get 6 stars or I just made that up in my head?
Don't know. It at least got 5. I can't remember if anything else has. But yeah, I mean, you go into a Walter Dragunov match. It's one of those, it's like Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. Like, it's one match that you know exactly what it's going to be, but it kind of delivers every single goddamn time. And they're just two that can just gel with each other forever and ever with so much history and story. I don't even know what their full count is up to now if you go back to the WXW and stuff like that. But they've go back and watch every single one of their matches from WXW, before they even got into WWE. They are absolute bangers all the way through.
Yeah, it's just sensational. 5.5 stars, the 2.5 stars match got. Deservedly so, Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano two of the best stars ever in NXT, in my opinion. If you haven't seen Walter versus Ilya Dragunov, watch it. Go and watch it. I mean, me saying they beat the piss out of each other does not sell it enough.
Does not, no.
There's a bit where you're like, okay, yeah, well, I've seen what he does there. I've seen these chops and stuff. And then there's a bit where he just goes, come here, Ilya. Plonks him off on the top rope. Get your chest gone, dickhead. It's so good. And they just batter the crap out of each other. And amazingly, he doesn't really get busted open again. Obviously, he had that big cut on his head, Dragunov.
Yeah.
But because you can see it all the time, like a Harry Potter scar, it's sort of adds to it as well. Because you're like, uh-oh, he could die any minute. For a match where you look at the two men and you go, well, that's impossible that he can beat Walter, especially what he's done to him before. You don't at the end go, don't really buy that. It is a war of attrition yet again, and it merits Meltzer breaking that scale for me.
Ilya's one of those guys that just has that like ridiculous fire that like at some point in the match he'll snap and you're like, oh god, here we go. Like he makes you believe again. And it's like, it's that talent is very high. Do you think this is another sign of things to come for Walter? Do you think he's gonna move on anywhere, or
get Joe versus Walter? Doesn't look like it. Looks like we're getting maybe Pete Dunne versus Walter, but
yeah.
Oh, Joe versus Walter down the line. I mean, yeah, maybe you want to take Walter away to bring him back or say, please come to America more often. I don't know.
Although he's been open before that he wasn't a huge fan of moving to America, is he? So,
but hey, Pete Dunne doing great stuff. Obviously, I think that would be a great match. Pete Dunne. Now you've taken it off Karrion Kross. There's so many more options. Kaylee Ray, of course, now in NXT. She walked out post Kai Gonzalez and looked like she was challenging Gonzalez, and they put her over wonderfully on NXT as well with video packages and Raquel Gonzalez talking about her NXT UK Championship reign. And an all WCPW affair in Walter Dragunov. I know, Dragunov didn't actually appear for us, but we put him on a video.
He was going to. Yeah, he was booked. He was ready. And then,
That still counts.
Not anyway, our fault.
Let us know your thoughts on everything we have discussed. Your thoughts on SummerSlam, CM Punk, and all the other stuff. Gangrel, mainly, on Twitter, at WhatCulture, WWE. You can follow him at PhilMyChambers. Follow me at Adam Wilborn. But enough of all that. It's now time for a Bloody Good Quiz. And this week's quiz is brought to you by SDG29. If you want your name associated with a hashtag Bloody Good Quiz, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes and leave us a review on there, just like SDG29, who writes, this used to be a one-star review where I criticized the Dudley Boys for being too negative. But after the last 18 months of WWE, I was wrong and they were right. Waiting for them to pick young boy applicants. So, hey, takes a big man to admit that they're wrong. So congratulations
it does.
On that one.
And it takes 18 months of WWE.
It takes 1.5 years to go, oh, no, scrap this. Yeah, fair enough.
I get it now.
We all eventually come round to the Dudley Boys way of thinking, basically. So, Phil, I thought as everyone else are bloody part-timers, I thought, what can I do here to ensure everyone gets a very entertaining hashtag bloody good quiz? So all I've done is I've written you 10 questions, right?
Okay.
Three options for each to make it a little bit easier because, you know, all about wrestling fills.
Of course.
So, multiple choice. I mean, you don't have to shout out your name away from his computer. It's me and you, mate. I mean, obviously, the first half of this is probably going to be about the Phil you're thinking of right now.
Yeah, the biggest Phil in wrestling.
Which was, you know, originally my plan.
It's about me.
Originally my plan. And then I thought, I'll do a wrestling Phil's quiz. That'd be fun. And quickly found out, really isn't a lot of wrestlers called Phil.
I was thinking that when you said it. It's not a huge amount.
His real name is Phil either. So, well, we'll see how it goes anyway. Are you ready, Phil Chambers?
Yes, very much so.
Question number one.
Okay.
How old is wrestler Phil Brooks?
Ooh.
Better known as CM Punk. Is he?
Of course.
42? 44 or 46?
I had 42 in my head before you said the question, so I'll go with 42.
Is the correct answer.
Hey,
you know,
we're off to a good start.
Phil's his birthday is actually in October, so we can have another bloody age celebration. 42, that's he's got bags of time. Look at this.
He does. We're doing for Retro Ups and Downs, we do the Royal Rumble from 2014. So I've just literally just finished watching Punk's very last appearance in WWE ring, getting eliminated from the Rumble by Kane and then getting thrown through a table. And he just did not look happy through any of this match. It was absolutely incredible. And also the birth of Bautista and Roman Reigns winning it, and Rey Mysterio, of all people, getting booed out of the building because he's not Daniel Bryan. It's incredible how wrong the end of this show goes. It's beautiful. So bad.
I'll jump to that question. I was going to be later on, but I'm jumped to that one now. When Phil Brooks wrestles at All Out, how many days will it have been since the 2014 Royal Rumble? Is it 2,553 days, 2,667 days, or 2,779 days?
Bloody hell. What were the options again?
2,553, 2,667, or 2,779.
Trying to do maths in my head and it's not working. I'll go with 2,779.
Two for two, Phil Chambers.
Hey! Incredible.
2,779 days when he steps back between those ropes next Sunday.
Long time to have not done something as physically intense and difficult as wrestling is.
Or, let's be honest, as with the length of AW pay-per-views, maybe it'll be 2,780 days. Get on with it! Right, question three. Which of these is not a tattoo that Phil Brooks has?
Hey.
No Pepsi references here, Phil. Okay.
Obviously, I was going to assume.
Well, I want the one he's not got. Four-leaf clover, rocket ship, lucky coin.
Ooh. Ooh. They all sound like something he'd have.
Yes. I found this on an old CM Punk quiz of his, by the way, that I wrote a few years ago. So if he subsequently had this tattoo...
Ooh. Okay. I'm going to go with either a four-leaf clover or a lucky coin. I feel like he'd just have a rocket ship there somewhere. And the other two are too close to each other. I'm going to go... four-leaf clover.
He has got a four-leaf clover.
Is it a coin?
He's not got a lucky coin.
There it is. Damn it.
I'm just reading about his 52 tattoos here. I'm going to double check lucky coin is not on here. Got a spiderweb with his lucky number on, lucky number 13.
Yeah.
He's also got lucky losers on there.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, no, thank goodness. There it is. But no,
he didn't do your quiz and go, oh, lucky coin, that's a good idea, I might get one of them.
Yeah, honestly. Quizzes from me for a few years ago are dangerous at best. Okay, question four. At which WrestleMania did Phil Brooks first wrestle at? We all remember, he was riding on John Cena's lobster. Well, which WrestleMania did he first wrestle at? Was it WrestleMania 22, 23, or 24?
I'm trying to think which one was the John Cena one now, but I'm so bad at numbers of WrestleManias. I am going to go with 24.
He did wrestle at 24, but he also wrestled
at 23.
WrestleMania 23. I think, don't quote me on this, 22 might have been the gangster entry.
Yeah, I couldn't remember whether it was 22 or 23.
I think it was 23 then, the one where he drove a car through some glass when I'm talking about.
Yeah, it must have been in Detroit.
Yeah. But yeah, it was 23. He was in the Money in the Bank ladder match in WrestleMania 23.
Of course.
Something that's been on your mind a lot recently. The first season of NXT, Phil Chambers. Final question about Phil Brooks. Who did he mentor in that first season? Was it Heath Slater, Justin Gabriel, or Darren Young?
Glad you said Darren Young, because I had him in my head. It's like, I'm sure it's, is it? Yeah, it's Darren Young.
It is Darren Young.
Yeah. I was going to say him before you said the options, and I was like, I feel really dumb if I don't just wait for the options when I don't have anyone to beat.
It would have been so much more funny if it was Skip Sheffield, wouldn't it? Let's be honest.
That would have been absolutely incredible. The Ryback and CM Punk together forever.
Okay, right.
Yep, that's yep, you... what I do.
That's all your questions about Phil Brooks now. You've got five questions.
Hey, so now you've got to find five other wrestling Phils, or is this about one other wrestling Phil that you found?
You'll see how I've scrabbled around on. You know, for those unaware, I may have messaged Phil earlier saying, I need to delay the start recording of this podcast. This is why, Phil.
This is very much idea before execution. Oh, isn't it? Like, oh, this is a great idea. Oh, wait. What have I done?
Okay, question six. Phil, you know famous UK wrestler Phil Powers?
Yeah.
Well, it's about the question about him. So if you know him, so, you know, just get Phil Powers, Wikipedia. You know, Phil Powers, professional wrestler, you know, born 27th of September 1978, birthday next month, of course. 5'10", trained by Johnny Kidd, debuted in 1993. You know him. Well,
no, yeah.
What is his nickname? Is it Fabulous Phil Powers? Is it
nice
Flying Phil Powers? Or is it Fatal Phil Powers?
Ooh, I like the sound of Fatal Phil. I'm gonna go with Fatal Phil. Why not?
It's a really good nickname, but it's not, it's not.
Is it Fabulous?
Phil Powers' nickname. He is, of course, as you well know, Flying Phil Powers.
Of course. Did he wrestle all those UK shows that just rip off American wrestlers? And he was really trying to be Flying Brian Pillman, but he was also wrestling fake Undertaker.
For legal reasons, I can't possibly comment on that. Next question. Okay.
That was the first wrestling show I ever went to, was fake Undertaker versus fake Kane in a steel cage match, and it was incredible.
Okay.
For some reason, it ended with a choke slam through a table.
Right, question seven. You're 50-50 so far on the Phil quiz. Okay.
Okay.
Now, Jackson Ryker. Phil, as you well know, Jackson Ryker's real name is... Chad Lale. That's his name, of course. But where there's a will, where there's a Phil, there's a way. Okay.
Hey, here we go.
What wrestling promotion did Jackson Ryker work for as Phil Shatter?
Oh, you were scraping the bottom of the barrel. And it's the question seven.
Is it? Honestly, my Google searches. Wrestlers with Phil in their name. Wrestlers called Phil. Wrestlers. Did he work for the NWA, MLW or TNA? Jackson Ryker as Phil Shatter.
Phil Shatter sounds like an NWA name. Don't know why, but I'm going to go with NWA.
You know your stuff when it comes to Phil Chambers. Yes, he worked for, I assume, an offshoot of the original NWA, Anarchy in 2005. Nice. And he won the NWA National Heavyweight Championship.
Wow. There you go.
Which is currently held by Chris Masters. So there you go.
Nice.
Who once had a ring named Concrete. What's going on here? Sorry, I've got distracted.
Chris Masters.
Right. So we have three questions left. You've already got four right, Phil. This is very impressive.
Excellent.
Next question. You know... You know Phil LaFon
Phil Chambers. Remember Phil LaFon?
Oh, yeah, I totally remember Phil LaFon.
He was in
good friends.
He was in Team Canada versus Team USA at Survivor Series 1997. Remember? Yeah,
of course he was.
You remember Phil LaFon? right. They faced Team USA at Survivor Series 1997, as I said. But,
yep.
Phil, who eliminated Phil LaFon from Survivor Series 1997? Which I think was also, yeah, that was when, oh, no, no. I think I was about to say, was that when Rocky debuted? That was the year before, of course. Right. Who eliminated him from Team Canada versus Team USA? Phil LaFon also actually wrestled at Survivor Series 1996, of course. You will remember he was taking part in the 4-on-4 Survivor Series match alongside the Pig and Hog lads and Doug Furness against British Bulldog, Leif Cassidy, Marty Jannetty and Owen Hart. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Survivor Series 1997, of course, Team USA, Team Canada. So who eliminated him?
What's it?
Goldust? Mark Merrow or Vader?
Oof. Well, harking back to my extensive knowledge of the Survivor Series 1997.
Just picture Phil LaFon, flat on his back. Who's pinning him?
I'm going to go with Mark Merrow.
Oof. It's not probably Mark Merrow. No.
Is it not Vader?
It is Vader.
It is Vader. Ah, I thought they just wouldn't have given it to Vader because they never really liked Vader.
he was eliminated. And then Vader immediately got eliminated by the British Bulldog.
Ah, there it is.
Yeah, literally, sorry, I just realized 11 seconds later, he got eliminated.
There it is. That's where my Vader instincts kicked in.
Sorry, what's this? Hang on, let me just double check this. Two members of Team USA both got eliminated by count out. Fantastic booking. Then again, this was a show with how many elimination matches? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They loved them back then. They loved them.
Jesus Christ. Oh, Phil LaFon was there for when Stone Cold Steve Austin beat Owen Hart as well.
Nice.
Busy night for Phil. Right. Okay. Two questions left. Four correct answers so far. We're looking to get you 50-50 here on the Phil quiz. I think you might have a chance with this one.
Okay.
How many views does King Ross slamming Hobo Joe, like it's played by Phil Chambers, through a table have on YouTube?
Incredible. I have absolutely no idea.
They're all good options, this. Is it 126,000 views? Is it 137,000 views? Or is it 142,000 views?
Ooh, how big of a draw am I? Or, you know, probably not me at all, but King Ross. I don't know. I'm going to go.
Go on.
Let's go big or go home. 1, 4, 2.
Yes! Believe it!
Yeah, baby!
Dreams can come true, kids. 142,000.
What a day that was.
1,000 views. Talk me through it. How was that? Well, how was that for Hobo Joe? Sorry, not to pull back the curtain too much.
Painful. It was a very strange day. It came after we did that 24-hour charity live stream thing, and we were at like, I think we were at like 18,500 pounds in donations, and there was like an hour left or something like that. So we were just kind of bantering on the stream, and I was like, whatever. If we make it to 20,000, like, fine, you can like put me through a table. Like, yeah, let's do it. And then all of a sudden, everybody started donating, and it got up to like 24,000 pounds, I think we made in the end. I was like, God damn it, you bastards. And so the next week we had tables lying around from WCPW, obviously, like you do in an office these days, have wrestling tables lying around all over the place. So we dragged it out to a park somewhere near the office.
Yeah, it's around the back of the old offices.
Yeah. So it's in like this weird sort of abandoned park area that's like just a like weird bit of a land that's completely abandoned, and did it there. And I think it was it Hamford and Sidgwick's first ever on camera appearance as well, as hoisting. I think Hamford and Jules hoist me onto Ross's shoulders or something, and then like did the whole hoo-ah and threw it.
I've got to give credit, it looks great,
did work quite well.
Go and watch it, not only to bump the views up, obviously.
Oh, of course.
That's always nice. But also to see, I assume he wasn't on camera that much then, because obviously he was busy doing other stuff. a sort of indifferent Adam Cleary in the background.
Yeah, I think that was one of his first ones as well, because I think he'd done magazine adverts, and I think that's all he'd actually done on the channel, because obviously it was a big part of the magazines.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's an interesting little flashback to a time there. I liked it. It was good fun.
The only thing I can compare that to is when me and you did that thing where you gimmick hit me with a pool cue. That was me for the rest of the week. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm in real pain here, lads. I'm in real pain. Like one bump, that's it, done. I'm very limited in my output. But maybe one day.
I wonder what happened to that table. We should have kept that table as a memento in the office somewhere.
They cleaned
it. No idea what happened.
Rid of it.
It'd be like, what's this? What culture at it again? Bloody hell.
Right, final question.
Is this question just name a wrestler called Phil who hasn't been on this list?
It's not. I did say, I think I tried to mention this. I may have accidentally got myself here. I never actually said I was talking just about people, did I? So, final question. What was the last WWE pay-per-view to take place in Philadelphia? The wrestling film. Dear. It's a wrestling film in by the book.
Hey, it's big wrestling town. It's Phil. Philadelphia. I love that you can. Four wrestling Phils. One of them was me.
It's you, Punk, obviously.
Obviously.
Philophon. Hang on. Jackson,
you're hoping to actually look up the guy's name.
Jackson Riker's alternative name, Flying Phil Powers. So what the thing is, someone's going to tweet me now and say, you've missed out this one. And it's going to be like, Randy Orton's real name is Phil.
Really obvious. I bet loads of people are going to tweet about wrestling Phils. There's got to be some more. There's got to be more wrestling Phils. If not, why? Someone, aspiring wrestler right now, change your name to Phil, please. Even when I was a wrestler, my name wasn't Phil.
Yeah, exactly. Final question then. What was the last WWE pay-per-view to take place in Philadelphia? Was it Elimination Chamber, Clash of Champions, or Extreme Rules?
Ooh. I think you've put Extreme Rules in there as a curveball, thinking, ooh, Extreme Philadelphia. So I'm going to go with the Elimination Chamber and probably be wrong.
The last WWE pay-per-view to take place in Philadelphia. If you get this right, you're going better than 50-50 on Wrestling Film.
Hey.
If you get it wrong, you're still going 50-50, so it's fine. The last WWE pay-per-view to take place in Philadelphia was Elimination Chamber 2020, before the world got turned upside sodding down. Me and Phil Chambers going, oh, there's Shayna Baszler winning the whole thing. Maybe she's going to beat Becky Lynch at WrestleMania.
Wrestling's good.
What a great time we live in. What could possibly go wrong now?
Here comes WrestleMania. Have we booked flights yet?
Oh, well, congratulations, Phil. Quite right.
Thank you very much.
You know your way around a few wrestling Phils. Apologies for wasting your time on a Friday with all this.
It's all good. I can't think of a better way to end my week. Although it's not ending. I'm working tomorrow. What am I talking about?
Yes, join Phil tomorrow for all the fallout from all of the wrestling, which now apparently happens on a Friday night.
I'm the only one in the office to work on a Saturday.
Right, let us know your thoughts on everything we've discussed and wrestling Phils that I've forgotten on Twitter at WhatWWE. Actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Phil Chambers at
Phil My Chambers, and you can follow Adam Wilborn at
Adam Wilborn. Follows all at What Culture WWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, particularly if you like people called Phil, because me and Sidgwick tomorrow are going to book some dream matches for Phil Brooks, aka CM Punk, in AEW. Right, this has been Wrestle Culture. My thanks to
Phil. You what? Tell you what, next week we should get either Nicholas or Cleary on, and I'll write a quiz about Adams.
Yes. Yes. And I'll have sound effects, hopefully, by then. Oh, what a dream. Yes, please. Right. Yes. Let us know how you got on, as I said. But for now, this has been Wrestle Culture. My thanks to Phil Chambers. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Wrestling!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.